frog is smart enough to jump out. You throw a frog in boiling water, and in his quick glass gasp, boom, he jumps out of the pot. You got a frog all over your house. Now, the way to kill a live frog in a pot of boiling water is really quite easy. You start with a pot of cold water, and you stick the frog in. He's very peaceful. He likes the cold water. And you put it on the stove, and you slowly heat it up. And the water gets warmer and warmer, and by the time the frog figures out what's going on, he's been cooked. Remember what George Bush told us just in December. Please don't forget history. What did he tell us in December? He told us that he did not eavesdrop. The government did not eavesdrop on any phone calls without a warrant. He said it very clearly, and he said it four times. We do not eavesdrop without a warrant. I've played his broadcast, exactly what he said on the air before. Then in December, it came out that the government was monitoring international phone calls, all international phone calls that Americans were making. And he said, oh, well, that's to monitor Al-Qaeda. Well, Mr. Bush, what about when you previously told us that you didn't spy on Americans without a warrant? He said, I was talking about the Patriot Act. I wasn't talking in general, even though that's exactly what he said. Okay, so they're monitoring phone calls between Americans and people abroad. I guess many Americans don't call abroad that often. They weren't that concerned. But they said they did not do domestic eavesdropping. Well, they asked Attorney General Alberto Gonzalez about domestic eavesdropping, and he, of course, wouldn't talk about the program we now know to exist. But they did say to him, does he think that the president, who doesn't feel that the Constitution, the Fourth Amendment, or Congress, or the law, restricts his spying in any way, shape, or form, whether it would restrict domestic spying? And Gonzalez said, well, he hemmed and hawed and basically said, I guess not. I guess it would be consistent with the administration's position to suggest that he can spy on anybody for any reason, notwithstanding the law. Now, those of you that say, well, you know, this is, yes, he's spying on 3/4 of Americans. Yes, there's 224 million Americans, but this stuff won't be misused. He's not actually listening to the phone calls. Are you really that naive? Are you really that naive? You're a frog, and you're about to be cooked. Just last week, the Electronic Freedom Foundation filed, I should say, their lawsuit was dismissed. A few months ago, the Electronic Freedom Foundation, in connection with the ACLU, filed an action in federal court charging that the government has secret offices in AT&T. Sounds like a conspiracy theory, doesn't it? Secret offices in AT&T monitoring and listening to telephone calls that occur from AT&T and doing so without a warrant. Listening to your calls, to my calls. Now, did the government deny the accusations, say that's silly, that's ridiculous, of course it's untrue? No, they didn't. They got the lawsuit thrown out on the Officials Secrecy Act, the act that was put in place by Senator Joe McCarthy at a time when everyone thought that our government was filled with communists in it. They got the thing thrown out. They will not confirm or deny that they're monitoring us. My friends, think about the power already of corporations over you and how much power that would be if turned over to the government. All your credit card records. Do you really think they're just taking your phone calls? Don't you think MasterCard and Visa are turning over your credit card records? Don't you think the government now knows every purchase you make? Oh, and let's not stop with credit cards. How about bank records? Don't you think they know where your checks are being written? Who's writing you checks? What you're spending your money on? What ATMs you go to? We already talked about the fact that a cell phone is actually a tracking device, and they can pinpoint exactly where you are at any time. Oh, and don't think your medical data is secret either. That's also in databases. Don't you think Kaiser Permanente is turning over information to the government? And Blue Cross, for that matter. Certainly Medicare, I'm sure, is turning over your medical information to the National Security Administration. Heck, video stores, video rental stores. If they're looking at what books you read and what libraries you go to, they're probably looking at your video rental records too. They're certainly looking at your political contributions. We know that political rallies are being spied on. We know that people are taking pictures of who attends those anti-war rallies. We know that people with anti-Bush bumper stickers on the back of their car are being denied entrance to Bush town hall meetings. We know that Quakers in Vermont are being spied upon. So next time you don't get a job with the government, maybe with a big corporation that's a friend of George Bush, you may be told it's because you're not qualified. You may be told that someone else was better for the position. It may be that they know that you gave a donation to the ACLU. My friends, a president was thrown out of office because of a third-rate burglary in the Watergate offices in Washington, D.C. What were they burglarizing? They were trying to fix a wiretap that had broken, right? I mean, they were trying to wiretap what the Democrats were saying, and they were trying to photograph some documents. Well, folks, in this digital age, where emails are going around right and left, they don't need to photograph the documents. We already know that a Republican staffer working for Majority Leader Senator Frist of Tennessee was monitoring all the Democrats' documents, was monitoring what they did on the computer. And not only did he do it, but he didn't apologize for it. He didn't think there was anything wrong with it. And it went on for more than a year, until finally he was fired. He hasn't been criminally punished. He got 1,600 documents. Far, far more than anything got in Watergate. Now, how have our values changed? That we believe that Nixon should be impeached for covering up a break-in into Democratic National Committee headquarters to steal documents, to monitor conversations, but we don't think a president that is doing the exact same thing and a Republican Congress doing the exact same thing, we don't think it's a big deal. Was it the break-in that mattered? I mean, if it makes you feel better, the Watergate burglars didn't damage the building. They didn't break a lock. They actually put a piece of tape on the door so that it stayed open. And they removed the tape when they left. They didn't do any damage to the building. All they did was spy. All they did was spy on the Democrats. And now that George Bush and the administration, the NSA, is spying on 224 million Americans, don't you think we ought to care? Don't you think this at least rises to the level of Watergate? And the sad thing is that this is just the camel's nose under the tent. Excuse me while I use the right metaphor. Right? Because Bush has lied about it all along. We know the pattern. He says we're not torturing people, and we find out we're torturing people. He says we don't have secret prisons abroad, we have secret prisons abroad. He says we're not violating Geneva Conventions, and of course, there are secret executive orders saying we're violating Geneva Conventions. And my question for all of you who believe that we should have no liberty in America, my question for all of you who believe that all of this is justified for the war against terror is this. If it's all cool and it's all good, shouldn't it be legal? Shouldn't there be a law? Shouldn't it go through Congress? Shouldn't the president come to the American people and tell us what's going on? Do you really trust the president to always do the right thing? And if you do, would you trust him if he were of a different party? My friends, this is how fascism begins. And I hesitate to use that word. We're not there yet. But this is how it begins. This is how the frog gets cooked. And the only thing more astonishing to me than the fact that this has become public, because I really have to say, I talked last week, remember? I talked on Debate Monday. Those of you who are listening, I talked with Mike Lane, and I said, what if it's domestic? What if they're spying on domestic us? And he said, well, there's no evidence of that yet. Just came out, folks. It's not hard to predict. And I predict right here on this broadcast, it ain't just phones, it's your credit cards, it's your bank records, it's your video rentals, it's your medical data, it's your political contributions, it's your cell phones, it's a global tracking device. Have you read 1984? Do you know how close we are to Big Brother monitoring everything we do? And I've got to say, in East Germany, in the former Soviet Union, they weren't that good. They didn't have the technological prowess that our current government does. Are Americans really not concerned? The toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. How do you feel about being watched? Do you think it's justified for the war against terror? Lots of other issues to discuss. Feel free to call in 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back after these messages.
%, 46%,
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back, guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
I know everything. Languages? Yes. Boiling points? Celsius and Fahrenheit? Yes. World capitals? Please. So, not too long ago, I tried to get a refi, and it got turned down. And this is the best part. The loan officer says to me, sir, do you know what your credit score is? So, I looked at her and said, tell me, do you know what the population of Liechtenstein is? Huh? Do you? Ha, ha, ha. She didn't.
Get in the know. Check out ScorePower from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score, all for only $14.95. And knowing that is how you get the credit you deserve. So check out ScorePower at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Well, now I have my credit score up to 760, the same number of days it took Frenchman Michel Lapointe to circle the globe on a bike. Yeah, I'll bet you didn't know that.
Get the power. Score power at Equifax.com.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. The Bush administration is spying on us. You know, when asked before why they couldn't go through the law, why they couldn't go through the Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Act, the Bush administration couldn't give a reason. They couldn't explain why it is that if they had a terrorist in mind, they couldn't just go get a warrant. Heck, it, you know, worked for 225 years. Well, now we know the reason. You just can't get 224 million warrants. And it's very hard to justify that every American's going to be spied on in a guilty until proven innocent system that we've never had in the United States. Now we know why they have the problem. 888-488-MARK. Let's go to the first caller. Caller, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hello, Mark. This is Mike from L.A.
Hey, Mike.
How are you doing?
I'm doing good.
Well, listen, you have convinced me. I was kind of on the fence on this just because some of the stuff I've been listening to has indicated that there's a distinction between gathering phone numbers and actual eavesdropping, and that there was no constitutional or statutory prohibition against what they're doing. And
let me respond to that if I can. First of all, in terms of the only getting numbers argument, and that is the argument they're making, where we're only getting the numbers. If they're not getting the names at all, which, by the way, are easily available. I mean, you can go to Google, type in a number, and get a name, and I'm sure the government has better access at information than Google. But if they're only getting the names, I mean, excuse me, only getting the numbers and not the names, then how does it help to fight terrorism? They have to get the names at some point.
Well, that's a good question. And the other question is all they would have to do is concentrate on these specific suspects to see what numbers are coming in and coming out of their phones. They don't need to look at everyone.
You know, it's interesting. Richard Falkenrath is he's the former Deputy Homeland Security Advisor to the President. He wrote an op-ed in the Washington Post today. And he said, well, here's his example. He said, let's say Mohammed Atta called a domestic telephone number A, and A called domestic telephone number B, and B called C, and C called Khalid Sheikh Mohammed. All right, that's his example. Well, here's the answer. It doesn't seem that hard to show that Muhammad Atta is probable cause to have committed a crime. You get a warrant on his phone records. And if he calls someone a lot, you can get a warrant on their phone records. I mean, you just follow along, you show to a court. You know, probable cause does not mean, it's actually the lowest of all legal standards. It's not guilty beyond a reasonable doubt. It's not even majority of the evidence. It just means you have a reasonable, articulable suspicion, is a legal term, to believe something nasty is going on. All you have to do is articulate your suspicion and make it reasonable. So they could follow Muhammad Atta's phone calls, and if they couldn't do it, they could, and I don't know why they couldn't, but let's say that there was some technical reason why they didn't think they could. Maybe they thought if Atta called A and A called B and B called C, that was too far afield. Well, they could go to Congress and go to the American people and say, we think we should be able to track, you know, not just the target's calls, but also that who the person calls their calls. And we could have debates in Congress, and we could, you know, we could have a program. But in this case, they decided to take 224 million Americans, just about everyone, in fact, except those who used Quest, and take their data. And an interesting thing you said about no statutory prohibition. I know some right-wing talk show hosts are saying that, so let me give you a specific example, and it's not just me saying this, by the way. It was reported by the Congressional Research Service and no less than USA Today, which I don't think of as a liberal newspaper, and that is the Communications Act of 1934. Goes all the way back really to setting up our telephone system. And that act says that you can't say who called whom. It's a basic privacy act. It dates back 70 years. And you simply can't say who called whom. And interesting, the penalty for that law is $130,000 a day, or it's capped at $1.3 million per violation. Well, we know there have been 224 million violations, so I did the calculation. And apparently the FCC could penalize the Bush administration $300 trillion. Of course, our national debt's about $8 trillion, so I don't know how they possibly pay it all. But this was considered at one time a very serious crime. So there is law opposing it. And I guess what disturbs me is the Americans that seem to think it's okay for it to occur, you know, don't they think at least that they should pass a law to make it legal?
No, Mark, they don't. I mean, people are going under the, hey, if you're not doing anything wrong, you don't have anything to be worried about rationale, which, again, is you're right. That's how fascism gets started. And people really believe that, and that's why we're going to have street corners. So we're going to have cameras on every street corner before long, and we're going to have monitors in our cars.
And we actually do. I mean, we actually do. I mean, when you the OnStar system, all right, which may be a great way to protect your car, all right. They've advertised on my program before. Maybe a great way to protect your car, but I wouldn't want one because I don't want someone knowing where I am every moment. That doesn't mean that I'm going around, you know, committing the snipers, you know, killing people in Washington, D.C. It's just that I don't know. I think it's kind of eerie to know that someone knows where I am every moment.
And how fast you're going.
And how fast I'm going. And I have to admit, I have gone over the speed limit on occasion. You know, it just, it's very weird to believe that the government, knowing where everyone is, everything they're buying, and I really think people need to focus on their credit card records and their video rentals and, heck, what they look up on Google. You know, if you do a Google search, Google protects that data. They're fighting the government. They don't want to turn it over to the government. But the government wants it. They want to know what searches you're doing. They want to know if you're looking for a specific political party. They want to know if you're looking at a porn site. They want to know whatever. And to think that this information won't be misused is truly a pipe dream. And the clearest example I have, of course, is Martin Luther King, who was spied on by J. Edgar Hoover. J. Edgar Hoover thought King was a communist, found no evidence King was a communist, but did find evidence that King was having an affair and used that information to try to discredit a political opponent. Now, I remember under Bill Clinton a huge to-do about the fact that there were some 200 or so FBI files that someone in the Clinton White House may have taken a look at. I don't think anyone was ever prosecuted for that. This isn't 200. This is 224 million. And who trusts the administration to handle this data appropriately?
Well, since they've been, you know, putting their enemies on the no-fly list and abusing other aspects of the Patriot Act, I don't put anything past them. And And my, you know, I've never forgotten, the thing that still sends chills down my spine when I think about it is total information awareness. Remember that?
Right, right.
I mean, they buried that really quick when they realized how scary it sounded.
But well, only when it became public, Mike. I mean, that's important to know. Let remind people what total information awareness was. I mean, what it is in essence this kind of database. In essence, tracking every one of your purchases. I mean, I have no doubt, and I can't say I have a source on this because I don't, but I have no doubt in my mind that total information awareness is going on right now.
Oh, I have no doubt as well.
They have files on every one of us. I mean, look, East Germany, the Soviet Union, China, Saddam Hussein, they felt need to put tabs on their citizens. And you know what's interesting to me for the conservatives who defend this program is that when you bring up gun control, and actually just recently a mentally ill kid in suburban Virginia who had shot his dog and was put in an institution for being violent and insane, is brought back. He escapes the institution. He goes back to his parents' home. His parents have apparently some guns locked up, but apparently 8 or 9 that weren't locked up, including an AK-47. I want to talk about this later in the hour. But and he got access to them and, in fact, just killed a police officer in the Washington, D.C. suburbs and wounded someone critically. What's interesting to me about this is that I had a guy on my show last week, conservative by the name of Mike Lane, who is arguing that the reason we shouldn't have gun regulations is because there may come a time when we need to uprise against our government. There may come a time when the government is so dangerous to our freedoms that we need our guns for that reason, and if we let them track our guns, then we won't be able to do that. And I talked about how silly an argument I thought that was because I don't think we can use guns to fight tanks. But when you think about the fact that he didn't want people tracking our guns, but he does want people tracking our internet searches, our phone calls. I mean, today's Mother's Day. I've called my mother. I hope everyone does. But do I really want the government checking to see if I've called my mother and using it against me in a political campaign if I don't?
No, I agree with you. I agree with you. But now one other question, though, and this is something that hasn't been publicized a lot. Apparently, Congress was briefed on this, though. Back right after 9/11, they were told this was going to happen. Nancy Pelosi has admitted as such. I mean, she expressed her outrage, and then when she was sworn, reminded, "Well, yeah, you were briefed on this, weren't you?" She sputtered and kind of said, "Well, yeah, I was, but I didn't realize it was going to be this extensive." I mean, what was she thinking? It was just going to be like one state, or maybe just the Eastern Seaboard?
I'll tell you what, Mike. There's a detailed answer to that question, and I'll give it to you right after the break. So hang on, folks. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico, 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec? Nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
If you're looking for a great deal, look no further than the CX 4600 All-in-One from Epson. No one else gives you so many great features at such a brilliant price, like individual cartridges of DuraBright ink for water, smudge, and fade-resistant photos, and built-in card slots to print directly from memory cards. You can also restore your old photos to their original beauty, all for around $99 after a $30 mail-in rebate. Buy now and also get a $20 reward card back by mail. For more brilliant deals, visit Epson.com/promotions.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
As time flows on, there are places we return to again and again. Precious places. Timeless places. Places that, with your help, can endure forever. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places around the world.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing the president spying on all of us. The administration, of course, has admitted that it has taken 224 million American phone numbers and found out who we've called over the past 5 years, who've called us. If you have used Verizon or Bell South or AT&T, you have been spied on by the administration. If you want to call in, the toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. I got on the phone Mike from Los Angeles, who raises a very good question. Nancy Pelosi says that she was briefed on some of the program. We don't know in detail what she has been briefed on and what she hasn't been briefed on. She says that she raised her concerns to the administration, that she raised them to Speaker of the House Dennis Hastert. They dismissed her concerns and told her, in effect, that if she were to mention it, she would be violating top security and could be thrown in jail. What should Nancy Pelosi have done? It's a difficult question. Mike, let me phrase it first to you. What do you think she should have done?
Well, I think that, I mean, if she was the lone voice in the wilderness crying out, it would be one thing. But, I mean, I can imagine that she and her colleagues didn't feel the same way. And if you mount a strong minority position in Congress, they can't throw them all in jail.
Well, here's the question. As
happened so often in this administration, Mark, apparently the Democrats knuckled under and did what the administration wanted them to do, like they've done on so much legislation and so many other things. I mean, that's the impression I get anyway.
Well, you have a point. It's very hard. We don't know exactly what she was told. She said that she was not told all that came out in the USA Today article.
There's not that much to the story. I mean, they're either doing it or they're not.
Well, I don't know whether they told her that they were doing it to three-quarters of all Americans. Maybe they said they were turning over some phone records. I mean, I'm not trying to defend her. I'm just saying we don't have enough information. It may well be. And then I think the question is, and I think you're right, it would have been very interesting. I like to think, if I were in Nancy Pelosi's position, that I would have come on national television and said, the president has told me about an action that he is taking that I cannot disclose because of secrecy regulations, but is in direct violation of the law and the Constitution. I'm in a bind. The president has told me, if I tell you what it is, he will prosecute me. He will put me in jail. On the other hand, if I don't tell you the president's breaking the law, then I myself wouldn't be honoring my oath to you as the American people. So I will tell you this. The president is presently breaking the law, and if the president will lift the threat to put me in jail, I will tell you what it is. Thank you, Americans. Good night. How do you like that?
That would have been seen as cheap political grand.
I can't even win with that one. Okay, well, Mike, all right, then I'll throw it back to you. You're the head of the Democratic Party. You get these briefings. What do you think you would do? She says she complained to Hastert and the president and fell on deaf ears. What would you do?
Well, I'd have to know if she really did or not, number one. I'd have to know how many of the Democratic leadership was briefed on it, if she was the only one.
Well, apparently it was four. It was she and Reed and Rockefeller and Jane Harman, though interestingly enough, the CIA agent, Mary McCarthy, on a different matter, but when they were talking about the plot or scheme, or maybe I should just call it the executive order, secret executive order by the Bush administration to hide prisoners from the Red Cross, the ghost detainee program, this CIA officer found out that her colleagues were lying to Jane Harman. Let me be clear who the people are here. Of course, we've got Pelosi. I know you know this, Mike, but some of my listeners may not. Pelosi is the head of the Democrats in the House. Reid is the head of the Democrats in the Senate. Rockefeller is the ranking Democrat, the lead Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, in the Senate, and Harman is the lead Democrat on the Intelligence Committee in the House. They did not inform the entire Intelligence Committees. They just informed these four Democrats. Rockefeller got so intimidated, and perhaps appropriately, that he did not tell anyone on his staff. He did not tell his chief of staff. He did not even put in his computer his objection. Instead, he hand-wrote a letter expressing his strong objections, photocopied it himself, and kept a copy so no one could argue that he hadn't made these objections. Pelosi apparently wasn't quite as clever and voiced her objections. So I don't know what they were supposed to do. Again, you didn't like my idea, which you called grandstanding. What would you do?
It would have been seen as grandstanding.
Okay.
I don't know that it would have, she would have...
Well, let me ask you. I mean, I know I'm throwing it back, and I know it's tough, and you've criticized her, and I'm not saying you're wrong to criticize her. What do you think you would do in the position where the president has briefed you on an activity that you believe to be illegal, but at the same time has told you it's top secret, you have a security clearance, and if you leak it, well, you know, that's a felony, and, you know, obviously it'll ruin your political career. What do you do?
Well, it is a difficult question, but I think that in unity there's strength if they had stood together.
It's interesting. What we don't know is whether, and they probably did, I would think they knew, but we don't know whether Pelosi, Reid, Harman, and Rockefeller knew that the other three knew. You know, if so, you'd think they could have had a meeting, the four of them.
I probably would have threatened to tell, not to go to public, but I would have gone to the intelligence committees of each chamber.
And threatened to tell the other congressmen.
Although interesting, probably what I would have done.
Although what's interesting is that that in and of itself, the administration contends, would be a violation of her security clearance and would be a felony. That's what they contended. And, you know, when the Justice Department is controlled by the administration and they're the people that prosecute, you know, it would have been interesting. Now,
I guess if you don't have the courage of your convictions, Mark, you don't have any business being in that position. I mean, do you stand up for the law and for your principles, or do you go along to get along? I mean, if these are the kind of people that are in Congress of either party, you know, I'm not really that interested in having any of that. I don't care about her political career, quite frankly. She is in a position of trust. They all were.
Well,
and I would expect them to stand up if they really seriously, sincerely believe it, and if their staffs have checked it out and they really believe they have the law behind them and the laws are being violated, they should have stood up for the Constitution.
You know, you make a strong point. I'll tell you, it's interesting. Like I said, Rockefeller did not feel he could even tell his staff. I mean, I worked as counsel on the Hill, and, you know, any time my boss or the Democrats that I worked for wanted to know if something was legal or not, they would say, Mark, could you look up the law on this, that, or the other? And I, as their counsel, would do that. Rockefeller was so nervous for whatever reason that he didn't feel that he could even tell his staff to check it out. Although
well,
you
this
would,
is the guy we want standing up for us.
Well, you know, I mean, you'd think that people, staff on the intelligence committees does have clearances. We know that. In fact, I was on the Homeland Security Committee, and they were starting to give me a top secret clearance when I decided that I didn't want the clearance if I was going to break away and do radio, so they couldn't string me up and throw me in Guantanamo Bay. But I know that staff does have clearances. The question is, there's all kinds of clearances in Washington. It's you know, top secret and extremely top secret and super top secret. I don't remember all the levels, but I assume it would be clear that there would be a violation of the top secret statutes if he were to tell his staff. And maybe the answer is sometimes you have to have, I don't know, as you say, the courage of your convictions.
I mean, go back and read Profiles in Courage. You know, I mean, sometimes you have to be an Edmund G. Ross.
Yep.
And stand up for what's right.
I hear you, Mike.
I think we've forgotten that in this country.
I like to think that I would have done the same. And actually, when we come back, I want to talk about the case of Mary McCarthy. This is a CIA officer who was the deputy inspector general. It was her job to watch over the CIA to make sure they're following the law. She heard CIA officials lie to Jane Harman, the ranking Democrat on the Intelligence Committee, and decided to expose the lie. And, of course, she was fired for it. And, what's interesting to me is the people who would support that firing, who believe that telling the truth to Congress or telling the truth to the American people is somehow dangerous when the CIA is lying to us. Mike, if you want to stay on, you can. Or if you're done, it's up to you. If other people want to call in, the toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back after this.
Silent Here's a message about Anderson Windows from J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. If you're thinking about remodeling your home, keep in mind that windows play a big part, so it's important to get the right ones. Anderson not only offers finely crafted windows and patio doors in thousands of sizes and styles, they also give you natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and long-lasting, energy-saving performance. Stop in and see the full line of Anderson Windows at J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. The pros at J.T. Hurst can locate a contractor to do the job for you or give you some helpful tips on how you can do it yourself. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first, a division of T.W. Perry. On Catoctin Circle in Leesburg, Anderson Windows. Long live the home.
How many different organizations list you as a member? You might be a member of a sports team, a book club, travel or CD club. But what does that membership really mean? Does membership in a book club allow you to vote on who runs the organization? Can you help shape the long-term future of your CD club? I don't think so. You can, however, shape the future of your electric company. That is, if you're a NOVEC customer. NOVEC, Northern Virginia Electric Cooperative, is owned by the consumers we serve and governed by a board of directors elected from the membership. Pretty cool, huh? But wait, there's more. NOVEC's customers share in the company's profits. Last year, we distributed more than $9.1 million in capital credits to our membership. The power to vote and a share of the profits. Membership doesn't get much better than this. NOVEC, locally based and member-owned. For a list of customer services, answers to your questions, and even employment opportunities, visit our website at www.novec.com.
I'm just a cowboy who's got achy knees and the joint pain they call osteoarthritis. I tried over-the-counter pills, they weren't right for me. So I tried some prescriptions and they made me foggy. And that's when I found you, Celebrex, for joint pain relief, no more, no less. Yeehaw!
Celebrex targets the source of pain and inflammation. It's non-narcotic. It doesn't make you foggy or slow you down. Ask your doctor about Celebrex celecoxib capsules. Celebrex should not be taken if you've had aspirin-sensitive asthma or allergic reaction due to aspirin or other arthritis medicines or certain drugs called sulfonamides. In rare cases, serious stomach problems such as bleeding can occur without warning. Tell your doctor if you have kidney or liver problems. To learn more, call 1-888-CELEBREX, visit Celebrex.com, or see our ad in Real Simple. Just one prescription Celebrex gives 24-hour relief.
Ask your doctor about Celebrex. Joint pain relief, no more, no less.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. We're discussing the administration's program to spy on all of us. Well, at least 75% of us, 224 million Americans, the administration has found out who we've called, when we've called them, who's called us, and that's just what we know they know. What's to say they haven't taken other things? You know, the person defending the program in the Washington Post today, Richard Falkenrath, the Deputy Homeland Security Advisor who was defending the program, says, you know what? The companies voluntarily gave the data to the government. It was their data. It wasn't our data. Your phone records don't belong to you. They belong to the phone company. Your medical records don't belong to you. They belong to your doctor. What you search for on the internet, that doesn't belong to you. It belongs to Google. Thankfully, Google has fought off the administration trying to find out what you're searching for. But suppose they didn't. Maybe Yahoo's turning it over. We can't know. And according to the administration, it doesn't belong to you. Where you go, what you do, who you call, who calls you, who spends money on you, who you spend money on, and what you look for on the internet, and what political contributions you make, and what political rallies you go to, apparently that's none of your business. It's hard to know what right to privacy is left under the administration standard. And Mike from Los Angeles has been calling in. He's been a great caller. And he asked the very good question, Well, heck, all right, this is awful stuff. Why have the Democrats done anything about it? And specifically, the question is about Nancy Pelosi. It should be clear there were only four Democrats that knew anything about this. They were the head of the Democrats in the House and the Senate, Pelosi and Reid, and also the head of the Intelligence Committees. And they've already said they didn't get a full briefing. We don't know, frankly, how much they knew about it. But Mike says, why didn't they do something about it? And let me be the first to say that I've got my own problems with Nancy Pelosi. I saw her recently on Meet the Press, and I think she's weak. I don't think she's a strong leader. I don't think Harry Reid in the Senate is a strong leader. Both of them seem very soft-spoken and very mealy-mouthed, and I think they're running scared. I think the administration and Karl Rove has done a political number on them, and they're kind of like, I don't know, abused children. They've been hit so hard that it's hard for them to come out of their shell. So I definitely think that they are weak leaders. I prefer someone like Senator Feingold, for example, who's actually called for censuring the president. But it's an interesting question as to what they could have done. And I think that all you have to do is look at other administration critics and see what's happened to them. Now, they're different. These are people working within the administration. Of course, there's the famous case of General Shinseki, the Army general who said that we need hundreds of thousands more troops in Iraq than we needed. And because of that, actually, the head of the Army was punished to prevent Shinseki's advice from going forward. But the clearest case, one just came out now, it's very interesting, is the case of Mary McCarthy. Now, Mary McCarthy was the deputy inspector general for the CIA. She was the number two watchdog at the CIA. It was her job, in fact, to make sure the CIA complies with the law. In fact, when the CIA was running ragged over Americans' constitutional rights in the 60s, Congress put in an inspector general precisely to make sure the CIA was following the law. It was a good idea. It still is a good idea. So she's listening to a session last summer where a top CIA official is being questioned tough in a closed hearing, right? American people aren't there. She hears a closed hearing, and Representative Jane Harman, the ranking Democrat in the Intelligence Committee, is asking questions about whether or not the CIA had taken prisoners and refused to let the Red Cross come in and had actually been secretly torturing them. We know now, though American people didn't know then, that there was a secret executive order signed by the president. In fact, I'm looking forward to 10, 20, 30 years from now where we can have a book of all the many secret executive orders signed by the president. I wouldn't be surprised if this president has signed more secret executive orders than all presidents before him put together. But a secret executive order signed by the president saying, we're going to avoid the Geneva Conventions. We're going to not let the Red Cross see the prisoners, something that America has never done. I mean, after all, World War II, the Geneva Conventions were signed after World War II precisely because the Red Cross was not allowed in Nazi prison camps and things, or when they were allowed, and in some, they were only showed part of it. And it was signed by a number of civilized nations precisely to prevent torture and things like this. Well, an executive order, I can tell you as a lawyer, is not a law. What an executive order is the president is allowed to basically sign regulations about a law. I mean, let's be clear what a law is according to our Constitution. It is treaties. It is laws passed by Congress, signed by the president. Those are the laws. The only thing the president can do in an executive order is if the law says, you can set a reasonable standard for children's toys so that the eye doesn't come off and choke a baby, then the president could issue an executive order or someone working under him saying it has to be 3 inches and not 2 inches because 2 inches gets caught in the windpipe and 3 inches doesn't. That's what an executive order is supposed to do. It's supposed to be an implementation of the law. But here you have an express Geneva Convention saying that prisons have to be open to organizations like the Red Cross, an express Geneva Convention to prevent torture. The president has signed a secret executive order that clearly violates the law, and this CIA official, whose job it is to enforce the law, is in a bind. She hears her official lying under oath. Folks, these things are done under penalty of perjury. Lying under oath, committing perjury, and lying to the Democrats. So what could she do? Well, first what she did is she referred the matter to prosecution. She referred the matter to the Justice Department, to the CIA. The administration did nothing. Finally, she apparently told some people in the press, and that's how the story came to light. And because of that, she has been fired, and she still is under a threat of prosecution. The administration is threatening to prosecute her for disclosing this top-secret information. Interestingly enough, they although they haven't revoked her pension yet, the legislation was approved by the House just 5 days after her firing to allow pensions of officials to be revoked if indeed they disclose their top secret clearance. Now, McCarthy is not an ideologue. People in the CIA will tell you this is just a woman who cared about the law. So what are we to do? The ACLU has sued the CIA about this. They've sought tens of thousands of pages of material. The CIA has refused to turn them over. And the presiding judge has said, quote, if the documents are more of an embarrassment than a secret, then the public should know about our government's treatment of individuals captured and held abroad. But this judge hasn't turned over any documents. What do you do? What should an administration official do? What should a leader of the Democrats do when they discover illegal information going on, but the president is threatening to throw them in jail if they disclose it? It's a tough question. Toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-MARK. Mike from L.A. has been very patient. You've been listening to this. What's your view, Mike?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, when you're talking about a House leader, a position of leadership, I have no question. I think you should come forward. When you're in a lower level position, I don't know, because you don't have as much credibility, number one. Number two, you don't have a political party allied behind you.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about credibility. I actually think the lower level officials have more credibility.
Well, except that they're easier to discredit because they're easier to overwhelm.
I mean, like Richard Clark, when he came forward, this is a guy who worked for Reagan, Bush, Clinton, and then Bush too. All right, and he was a guy so trusted by the administration that when they thought a plane was going to the White House, Cheney ran underground and said, "You're in charge here. You take control." I guess he thought he'd be pulverized. But when he came clean, he was viciously attacked. But what's interesting to me is, as you said before, when I gave you the hypothetical, if Pelosi says, the administration's breaking the law, people will say, it's Nancy Pelosi. That's the Democrats. They're just trying to score cheap political points. Richard Clark had no political points to score. Mary McCarthy had no political points to score. And so it's very interesting when you talk about their credibility. Mike, I guess I think the lower-level officials have more credibility.
I would tend to agree as an individual, but the problem is their superiors, who are beholden to the administration,
right,
will take the opposite point of view and call them out as disgruntled. Or in the case of the CIA official you were talking about, he's writing a book. He's got an axe to grind.
Right. They said that about Richard Clark.
Yeah, Richard Clark, exactly.
Right. Now, Mary McCarthy is writing no book, but they're threatening to prosecute her. So they've got both. It's a really tough thing. And we have an administration where I can't recall any time in American history. I mean, Watergate is so minor compared to this, where we have illegality after illegality, all secret, all disclosed. I mean, let's just go through them. We have torture. All right. I don't doubt that there was some torture done by Americans in the past, but a systematic program of torture. We have these external prisons, these secret external prisons. We have hiding people from the Red Cross, breaking the Geneva Convention, the first time that's ever been done to my knowledge. We have the phone calls, all international phone calls being monitored. We have the 224 million domestic phone calls. Three-quarters of us knowing who we called, who called us, what time. In fact, what's interesting about it is that the only reason they don't have all the phone calls is because Quest Communications said, you know what, I want to see a court order before I turn over these things because I think it violates the Telecommunications Act. And so lucky for the tens of millions of people, I guess, in the Denver area, they didn't get their records turned over because the administration couldn't get a court order to do it. It's just each and everything comes up. The fact that they were holding American citizens indefinitely. It's each thing they're doing, it's an amazing pattern. And it makes me ask not what they've done, but what we don't know that they've done.
Well, I agree with you. We are definitely seeing the tip of the iceberg.
Mike, I want to thank you very much for your call. I really do appreciate it.
Thank you, Mark.
Let me go to someone else calling in. Welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hello?
Yes, you're on the air.
Hi, I'm calling from San Diego, and
yes.
I know that you're in Washington, D.C.
I am.
You won't listen to your show. I had a question about Karl Rove.
Yes.
For the news.
Now, I think he's going to be indicted. Is that your question?
Yes, it is, and I wanted to know what you think the ramifications are. He's having this big thing on Monday about the big top-notch speech on television, and I'm just going to tell you something else. Right before the Iraq war started, I live in San Diego, right where the flight pattern is for the jets flying in Miramar,
mm-hmm.
and they had tons of jets flying like 1 or 2 months out before the war started, and about 3 or 4 weeks ago, I noticed the same thing started, lots of jets lots of these jets from Miramar flying overhead, like at all times, especially in the evening hours.
What does that make you think? You think we're doing something with
something,
Iran, or?
Yeah, I think something. I think something's going to start soon, like within another month or two, because the same thing happened right before the Iraq War.
Well, what's interesting is that every time Bush approval's rating goes down to a certain level, we seem to have a war started.
Exactly.
And so it would be interesting if they did something. And the irony is that Iran, unlike Iraq, actually does pose a real threat. But this administration has so cried wolf so many times and made up threats about Iraq that weren't there that they can't get the support that they actually need. I mean, I don't want Iran having nuclear weapons. I would love it if the world got together, and I think they actually would have if we had a president who could work with the world. But Tom Friedman, columnist, wrote a very interesting article the other day about this exact problem, that he was afraid of Iran, but if he had to choose between the awful Iran getting a nuclear weapon and the other awful of this administration trying to stop them, he had to say he'd prefer them having the nuclear weapon, because he figured this administration would actually do more damage than Iran having the nuclear weapon.
Exactly. And so my other question, too, is about on Monday with this big speech, do you think it's just a big front to hold off the news that's going to come out about Rove getting indicted?
I think he's going to try. To me, the interesting news was not that Rove's going to be indicted. I have to say I've been predicting that for a long time. To me, the interesting news that came out on, I don't know, page A, 12 or so of the press, didn't get that big of news, was that Vice President Cheney, in handwriting, is the one who set Libby off on disclosing Valerie Plame Wilson. Now, I have argued from the very beginning, and you know, I use my experience as someone who worked in Washington, you don't do any major action without talking to your boss. Anyone on the Hill, anyone in the administration knows that you don't take actions that are independent. I mean, you know, small stuff, sure. But a big thing, committing treason, disclosing a CIA agent, you don't do that without talking to your boss. And Libby was the chief of staff for Vice President Cheney. He only had two bosses. Cheney, and I suppose President Bush would be his ultimate boss, but really his boss was Dick Cheney. And so I argued years ago that Cheney had to know about it. Well, now we know that Cheney wrote about Valerie Plame Wilson and said, you know, when Joe Wilson was criticizing him, who paid for this junket? Did his wife get him involved? It kind of reminds me of that famous Thomas A. Beckett in the 12th century that said, well, won't someone rid me of this troublesome priest? And, of course, the priest is praying, and suddenly four men kill him. I mean, Cheney, it seems to me, at least in writing, we now know, was concerned about Valerie Plame Wilson, and I wouldn't be surprised if it went to a lot more than writing. So to me, Rove being indicted will be terrific. Rove is the political mastermind. He is the dirty tricks expert. He is the guy that George Bush called his turd blossom. Pardon my language on air, but that is his nickname. And a turd blossom, of course, is a Texas wildflower that grows out of manure. Because George Bush knows that Karl Rove is up to his neck in manure and thinks that that's blossom. I mean, this is a guy, remember, this is a guy who planted a bug in his own headquarters and blamed the Democrats. This is a guy who stole stationery from a rival campaign in Texas and wrote on it, and then the person had to deny that he wrote this thing on his own stationery. This is a man who loves to play dirty tricks. And nothing could be better. Nothing could be more justified than to see Karl Rove in jail.
My sentiments, exactly, and I'm just waiting. That's going to be the highlight of my week, I can just tell you that.
It'll certainly be the highlight of mine, but I have to say, it's not enough.
Right.
It's not enough. They need, you know, and Rove, it's interesting to see what kind of snake he is. Is he a loyal snake or a disloyal snake? You know, I mean, this is a guy who is so immersed, let's say, in manure, that, you know, he's willing to do just about anything to help his guy in power. The question is, what about when he's in trouble? What about when he faces 5 or 10 years? Will he turn state's evidence against the vice president? Will he loyally go to jail as G. Gordon Liddy did in the Watergate affair?
You know what? The other thing that is going to make me really feel so good about is all these righties who have, from day one, thought that their party was so the party of righteousness, and they were so against Clinton, and Clinton was so bad. I am going to scream to high heaven and go on every single talk show I can radio show I can in San Diego and say it over and over that it was all a bunch of baloney, that they have had more corruption in their political party than anything I have ever seen in my life, and I'm 48 years old.
Well, no question about that. And when I come back in the next hour, I want to talk about what was going on in the CIA, because it's not just Mary McCarthy. The fact that Porter Goss was thrown out has to do really with a guy that was number three in the CIA that didn't get a lot of attention, though it does matter to you folks in San Diego. His name is Dusty Fago, and apparently he liked to hang out with your former congressman, Representative Duke Cunningham and Brent Wilkes, and parties that were full, apparently, of poker, prostitution, and corruption. I wanted another P, but I didn't have it. You know, poker, prostitution, and I don't know. But I want to talk about that because it's interesting that the people that talked about honesty and integrity is if they really, really cared about Bill Clinton's skirt chasing. Obviously, it was all about politics. I could say politics, poker, prostitution, and politics. And when I come back, I want to give the details about that because Goss, who mysteriously resigned, there's a lot more to it than meets the eye. If you want to hang on, you're welcome to. Otherwise,
well, thank you, Mark, for your show. I will continue listening.
Please keep listening. I always appreciate my loyalty.
I'll get you back out here in San Diego.
I would love it.
We really miss you. The 2 to 4 o'clock p.m., we really miss it.
Well, you know, call in there. You can certainly go to my website, radioinsightscoop.com, get on my mailing list, and call folks across the country. I'd love to be back on in San Diego as well. Thanks for your call.
Okay, thank you very much.
We have to take a break. When we come back, I'm going to talk about the story of Dusty Fago and a little bit more about the president spying on us because, well, I still find it incredibly shocking. We'll be right back after this.
Percent. 46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back, guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
I know everything. Languages? Yes. Boiling points? Celsius and Fahrenheit? Yes. World capitals? Please. So, not too long ago, I tried to get a refi, and it got turned down. And this is the best part. The loan officer says to me, sir, do you know what your credit score is? So, I looked at her and said, tell me, do you know what the population of Liechtenstein is? Huh? Do you? She didn't.
Get in the know. Check out Score Power from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score, all for only $14.95. And knowing that is how you get the credit you deserve. So check out Score Power at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Well, now I have my credit score up to 760, the same number of days it took Frenchman Michel Lapointe to circle the globe on a bike. Yeah, I'll bet you didn't know that.
Get the power, Score Power at Equifax.com.
I have these nightmares. This taco, not just an ordinary taco, but this big evil taco is haunting me.
Guacamole.
You see, I was exposed to credit cards in college, and I wasn't the most responsible person back then.
Go, go, go!
I mean, I heard the words credit card and thought, hey, free money! Plane ticket to spring break? Credit card. New skis? Credit card. 135 taco dinners? Bam! Credit card. But hey, it's not too late to do something about your credit. Get ScorePower from Equifax.com. ScorePower gives you your credit report, credit score, and it puts you on the road toward the credit you deserve for just $14.95. So, check out Equifax.com today and get that taco you ate 7 years ago out of your life.
Get ScorePower at Equifax.com or 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Adios, taco.
Get the power.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Good afternoon, good evening, America. Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. This is the second hour. It is the Sunday Weekly Review. All topics are valid. I still can't get over, of course, the Bush administration secretly eavesdropping on 75% of us, on 224 million Americans. I mean, how many terrorists do they really think are in America? A million? A million? And they're spying on 224 million of us? I don't think there are a million terrorists in America. I think this is a little bit overkill. What it is guilty until proven innocent. There's really no other way to describe the program. You are guilty until proven innocent. We're going to check your calls. We're going to find out who you know. We're going to find out who you call. We're going to find out what political parties you give to. Hey, if you want to call a 1-900 line to get, what some fortune teller wants to tell you about your life, maybe a sex line, maybe you're, really into ice cream and you have binges. Maybe you're an alcoholic and you're calling AA, whatever it is. Aren't you glad to know the government is watching you, your every move, every phone call you make, every call made to you? And let's be clear, I don't think that's all it is. I'm sure they got your bank records. I'm sure they got your credit card records. They want to know where you go on the internet, what videos you rent, what medical data you have. After all, you might want to be denied insurance, right? No health care for you. You may have a condition, and if the insurance company can find out about that condition, well, sorry, we don't have public health insurance in America. You're going to be denied health insurance. You also may be denied a job for your political views. How do we know this? Well, one way we know this is because the HUD secretary told us this. HUD, of course, is the Department of Housing and Urban Development, and its secretary is Alfonso Jackson. Just about 2 weeks ago, in fact, he told a minority business group about how a minority-owned publisher had landed a contract with HUD after 10 years of trying. But he told Alfonso Jackson, the secretary of HUD, that he didn't much like President Bush. Here's a direct quote from Secretary Jackson, quote, "I said to myself, brother, you have a disconnect. The president is elected. I was selected. You wouldn't be getting the contract unless I was sitting here. If you have a problem with the president, don't tell the secretary." Jackson said he didn't get the contract. This is according to an article in the Dallas Business Journal. Jackson's response, he says he actually fabricated the story. He made up the story. As well he did, because deciding not to award a contract based on someone's party affiliation is not just an arguable violation of a bidder's constitutional rights, it clearly violates the Federal Acquisition Regulation. Congress has so found, specifically the Congressional Research Service, which is a nonpartisan branch of congressional lawyers whose job it is to determine the law. The CRS lawyer said that contracts, quote, may not be awarded on the basis of personal or political favoritism, and all potential contractors have to be treated with complete impartiality and with preferential treatment for none. Tell that to Halliburton. But, of course, Bush has stood up for Jackson, saying that it's okay. He said he made a mistake. Look, folks, if they're analyzing what political party you give to, if they're looking at your contributions, if they're finding out what rallies you go to, heck, maybe you've made a call to the ACLU. Well, don't you think that might affect a job? And not just a government job, but a contract from the government? The government has a lot of power. Remember, this is exactly what China does, what the Soviet Union used to do, what East Germany used to do. They would monitor their citizens, find out what they're doing, and act accordingly. And like the proverbial frog in the boiling water, we don't notice the water until it's boiling. A lot to talk about this hour. I do want to talk more, if you want, about the surveillance program. I want to talk about the assault weapons used by the Virginia mentally ill man and why it is that Republicans don't care that the government knows where you're going and who you talk to, but doesn't want the government to know what guns you have. And in fact, there's everything from D.C. voting rights, which may come to the fore, to the reason why we're doing nothing to stop the Darfur genocide. You want to talk about McCain sucking up to religious rights, or the fact that the Hummer no longer exists, being beaten out by the modest Prius? Or we can talk about, heck, taxes. How it is that the Bush administration is sacrificing your children so that Halliburton can get more tax money. A lot to talk about, and all you have to do is call in 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, and add your 2 cents. The lines are open, and I hope to hear from you, and we'll be right back after this.
Executive who studied 4 years of math, including trigonometry, and now sits in a huge office and drives a finely tuned luxury car?
Yes, Mr. Only learned basic math in school, so still have a low-paying job and have to live with your mother.
Sorry to bother you, but the vice president who took AP calculus and gets paid more than the rest of us combined wants to know if you'll be leaving early like you usually do to play golf.
Absolutely.
Okay, I'll let him know. If you need me this weekend, I'll be working late filling out your expense reports and timesheets because it's the only kind of math I can handle.
Great. Simple addition and subtraction sound right up your alley.
Thanks. Have a good weekend in the country, ma'am.
I always do.
Want to get ahead in life? Learn math. Algebra, trigonometry, calculus. Because math is power. To learn more, log on to mathispower.org. A public service message brought to you by the National Action Council for Minorities in Engineering and the Ad Council.
If you've been thinking about consolidating your federal student loans, it's time to call College Loan Corporation at 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will explain the benefits of the consolidation program, including locking in the lowest rate in history, reducing your current monthly payment by up to 58%, and cutting down multiple payments into one simple check. For more information, call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. That's 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
This is a financial update. Average mortgage rates took a slight dip this week.
Sorry to interrupt, but LendingTree.com is the only place where banks compete over your mortgage. Then you get up to 4 real offers to choose from within minutes. So do better and choose from low rates. Call LendingTree now at 1-800-555-TREE. That's 1-800-555-TREE. When banks compete, you win at LendingTree.com. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions apply. See website for details and licensing.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. It's a Sunday Weekly Review. All topics are valid. Give us a call at 888-488-MARK. That's 888-488-6275. And let me know what topics of most concern to you. I'm still in a state of shock, I have to admit. And it's about, of course, the government spying on us. And it's not that I didn't think it could happen. But even I, who expect the worst from this administration, and am astounded by the sheer brazenness of it. I mean, you know, if they were spying on 1 million Americans, I would think that was pretty brazen. After all, I don't know how many terrorists in the United States. What is it, a few hundred? Maybe a few thousand? I doubt it numbers 10,000 in the United States. If they were spying on 1 million people to find 10,000, 100 people to find one, I would be shocked. Just like I'd be shocked if a man committed a crime and they arrested 100 people or even spied on 100 people in order to find that one man. Now, maybe in one particular case, you know, I could see you got a mafia leader and they spy on 100 people that he's got connections with in a very severe case. Maybe I could see that. But this isn't 100 times. This isn't 1,000 times. This isn't 10,000 times. This is 224 million times, 3/4 of Americans. You who are listening to my voice, that's right, you have been spied on. I have been spied on. Now, you know me, okay, all right, I used to work for the Democrats. I can understand why they're spying on me. But why the heck are they spying on you? What have you done? And what have you done that you might not want to be public? You know, I believe we have a free country, or we should have a free country, where you're at liberty to do things that maybe you wouldn't be proud of. Maybe you went out drinking too late last night. Well, you know what? Your cell phone knows where you were, because they get to track those things in order to make your cell phone work. Well, that data, if thrown away by the phone company, means nothing. I mean, they need it, right? I mean, they need it. If you dial 911, they have to know where you are. It's important. But do you really want Karl Rove knowing where you were last night? What you were doing at 2 in the morning? Now, maybe you lead such a staid life and that you never do anything wrong. Maybe you never go to Las Vegas and gamble. Maybe you never smoke a cigarette. Maybe you've never looked at something on the internet. Maybe you've looked at another religion. You belong to one religion and you've looked up another religion, and you wouldn't want people in your church knowing it. Maybe you wouldn't want people to know what your political views are. Whatever it is, do we really feel safe with the government knowing our every thought? Does that really make you feel comfortable, the government knowing where you are at all times, whether you're sleeping or awake, who you talk to on the phone, who talks to you, what you're looking up on the internet, what books you're reading? Are you comfortable with that? Really? Because if you are, then I would recommend George Orwell's 1984. You can read about life under the gaze of the ever-watchful, ever-benevolent Big Brother. Because that's where we are now. You know, when the president was asked, why didn't he seek congressional authorization for this program? He didn't have an answer. He didn't have an answer at all. I think he knew that we don't want, most of us, Big Brother watching every move we make. He was asked why he didn't seek court authorization. Again, he didn't have an answer, but we know now why. Because even the secret FISA court, the secret Foreign Intelligence Surveillance Court, has to have a reason to spy on someone. Because we believe, crazily enough, in innocent until proven guilty. You have to have some reasonable, articulable suspicion. You have to believe that someone may have committed a crime. You can't just spy on everybody and see who you pick up. You can't just throw everyone in jail in the belief that some of them are guilty. That's not the way our system works. They didn't go to the courts because they could not have gotten authorization from the courts. You know, it may be that your child is sick and you lie to your boss and, sneak out from work early, okay, to take care of a sick child. Because your boss would fire you, because, you know, we don't have that much family-friendly policies in the United States. But if the government knows where you are and knows you're not at work, they have connections with your boss. I mean, the irony about this is that for all the conspiracy theories that I spend all day long trying to dismiss, you know, the people who believe that George Bush caused 9/11 or bombed the levees in New Orleans and all that stuff, this is a true conspiracy theory. All you people who are worried about the government spying on you, well, they are spying on you. I had a regular caller to this show who said that the government was monitoring all his emails, spying on his phone calls. In fact, he argued that they were actually disrupting his phone calls to this radio show. And I have to admit, I told him, and the long-time listeners know who I'm talking about, that's ridiculous. Not that I didn't think the government could spy on him, but why would they? He wasn't important enough, I didn't think, to spy on. But now we know they're spying on 3/4 of us. And I want you to think about just what an effort that is. I didn't think they could spy on all of us because it was just too much effort. But we now know they've spied on 2 trillion phone calls. Not million. Not billion. Trillion. If you use AT&T, it's every phone call you've made in the last 5 years. Everyone who's called you. Now, I want you to think about the huge effort, the huge expense. Talk about runaway government spending. The huge expense and cost and time and money spent on going through this data. Someone has to look at all of this. If they're not looking at all of it, then why the heck are they doing it? Why are they doing it? If they're not looking at it, if they're just putting it in some vat somewhere, it ain't fighting terrorism now, is it? So someone's looking at all this stuff. Think of the cost of paying someone to look through 2 trillion phone calls. Think of the time. And maybe, you know, maybe the argument is, look, we're not really looking at it. We just want to have the data in case we want to go back and look at it later. Well, there's an easy way to handle that. All you do is you tell the phone company, save this data. All right? You require them to save the data so that if you ever get a warrant, you can look at that later. It's very easy to fix. But here's the question. When the government is spending, I don't know how many, billions of dollars to monitor 2 trillion phone calls, if they're not looking at the data, don't you think someone's going to say, folks, we're spending $2 trillion or $2 billion of the American people's money. I think we need to actually use this stuff. I mean, what are we spending $2 billion on? The irony is that even if the 224 million Americans being spied on, even if the government doesn't want to spy on everyone, they just want to keep that data around in case one of us makes a misstep, the policy people that are there, that are being paid to do this stuff, are going to think, well, you know, they're wasting our salaries if we don't go through and we don't spy on this stuff. What's interesting is the Justice Department, of course, given that this is a violation of law, it's a violation of the Communications Act, went to the National Security Agency, the people doing the program, and they sent their lawyers to investigate it. After all, it's against federal law, folks. And what did the NSA tell the Justice Department lawyers? Career people, people who work for the president, but career people, honest people, they said, you know what, we're not going to give you security clearance. You won't be able to figure out what we're doing because we're not going to give you clearance. And so the circle closes. To people like Nancy Pelosi or Mary McCarthy of the CIA, they say, you have a security clearance. We'll let you know in some small way what's going on, but if you tell anyone, we're going to put you in jail. And the people who don't know and want to find out, they say, I'm sorry, you can't find out. You don't have a security clearance. In other words, we are in charge here. We're the dictators. We control everything. And if you try to find out, you will be punished. This in America? In the United States? In a country that used to care about liberty? My friends, we're the frog, and the water is boiling. And if we don't jump out now, I don't think we ever will. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275, if you want to call in. We'll be right back after this.
Your dog eats your new sofa. Pet satisfaction rating 3%. Your hairdresser doesn't know burnt auburn from burnt toast. Hair color satisfaction rating 5%. After years of marriage, your husband still leaves the seat up. Spouse satisfaction rating minus 2%. Your car insurance company saves you hundreds of dollars and handles your claim quickly and fairly. Car insurance satisfaction rating 97%. Oh, you must have Geico.
Geico's customer satisfaction stands at 97%. How would you rate your car insurance company? Geico. 1-800-947-AUTO.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello. Relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec? Nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
If you're looking for a great deal, look no further than the CX 4600 All-in-One from Epson. No one else gives you so many great features at such a brilliant price, like individual cartridges of DuraBrite ink for water, smudge, and fade-resistant photos, and built-in card slots to print directly from memory cards. You can also restore your old photos to their original beauty, all for around $99 after a $30 mail-in rebate. Buy now and also get a $20 reward card back by mail. For more brilliant deals, visit Epson.com/promotions.
If you give me a fish...
If you give someone a fish...
You feed them for a day.
Teach someone to fish.
You feed them for a lifetime.
Give me a fish, and you'll feed me for a day. Teach me to fish, and you'll feed me for a lifetime.
Through Volunteers of America, you can help change lives in your community.
As time flows on, there are places we return to again and again. Precious places. Timeless places. Places that, with your help, can endure forever. I'm Paul Newman. Help the Nature Conservancy save the last great places around the world.
And now, from Washington, the Inside Scoop. All the news the government does not want you to hear. Now, here's your host on the Inside Scoop, Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. There is a heck of a lot of news the government does not want you to hear. If you want to call in, ask a question, make a point, anything I'm talking about, the toll-free number is 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. You can also comment on the blog, I know, as some of you like to do. I'll be reading some of your comments in just a minute, and that's, of course, at RadioInsideScoop.com. What's interesting is that, of course, it's not just the fact that the administration is monitoring who we talk to, who talks to us, but there's a whole culture here that all you have to do is look at other historical parallels, and if you're not worried, I want to know why not. Did you read about the secret police in Iraq? Yes, the secret police. You can call them the SS. You can call them what you want. It's a unit of 4,000 building guards that we set up. U.S. officials set it up. It's the largest paramilitary force in Iraq. And it started with 4,000, excuse me. Now it has 145,000 armed men and no central command, no oversight. But it's widely attributed now to carrying out killings, death squads. Now, when our CIA trained the Shah of Iran, SAVAK, the Shah of Iran had this his own secret police that would torture people, and we trained him and taught him how to torture. Apparently, we're doing the same thing in Iraq. We set this up when we were trying to get some order in the place, and now they're roaming the streets. They got their assault rifles, and no one controls them. The Iraqi government doesn't control them. The Interior Ministry doesn't control them. They're called the Facilities Protection Service because they used to protect buildings. And now the FPS is its own secret police. Oh, well, I guess just some other problem that we caused in Iraq. Someone else that's unaccountable. And then have you heard the case of Khalid al-Masri? Again, there's so much information the government does not want you to know. Do you know who he is? Well, he's a German citizen. Yes, he's got an Arabic name because he's of Lebanese heritage, but he's a German citizen who our CIA picked up, threw in jail, because he had a similar name to someone we believed was a terrorist. So, had a similar name. Of course, our government doesn't believe in trial by jury or due process or any of those silly Bill of Rights that are in the American Constitution. The American Constitution is just a piece of paper. George Bush raised his right hand and swore to uphold the Constitution. He was joking. Joking like the HUD secretary, who was joking when he said he didn't give contracts based on political favors. So because we don't care about the Constitution, we like to pick up people in foreign countries and throw them in jail without trial. And we picked up Khalid al-Masri and imprisoned him by the CIA for 5 months. Now, what's interesting about this is that the German chancellor complained, the German parliament complained, the State Department admitted it happened. Even Secretary Condoleezza Rice confirmed that it happened directly to the German chancellor. According to the German chancellor, I have no reason to believe she's lying. The CIA confirmed it. The State Department confirmed it. But when Khalid al-Masri sued an American court in order to get, reparations, how about just an apology? That's one of the things he's seeking. An apology from our government. The case was dismissed. The Official Secrets Act. The act that was brought about in the McCarthy era to protect the government from breaking the law. And, of course, it now protects the government, allowing it to break the law. The culture of corruption, of illegality. You know, each of these stories in and of themselves would be a big deal, but now I think we're getting, I don't know, we're getting scandal tired. I was talking before with the woman from San Diego, and I really like the San Diego listeners that keep listening on the internet at radioinsidescoop.com. I really appreciate that. Heck, maybe you can convince KLSD to bring me back on air. But I was talking to her about what was going on in San Diego with Dusty Fargo. Dusty Fargo was number 3 in the CIA. He was brought there by the chairman, Porter Goss. And he was intimately involved with a guy by the name of Brent Wilkes. He was a close friend with him. Now, Brent Wilkes is the one who is a target in the bribery investigation of former San Diego Congressman Duke Cunningham. He's the guy he'd have the poker parties. And I'm not attacking poker. I like to play it myself. There, I admitted it. But at the poker parties were the prostitutes ordered by the contractors, because, you know, some politicians like money, others like sex. There's always a way to buy a different congressman. So they had the prostitutes at the poker games, and they had, basically massive corruption, people buying bribery back and forth. This is number 3 at the CIA. Number 3. Pudding, he's a close friend of Porter Goss. I don't know whether Porter Goss was involved in this or not, but there's a reason why he left, mysteriously. Now, if the administration were honest with us, why wouldn't they say Porter Goss is being fired because he hired as his number 3 this incredibly corrupt guy, and it was bad management on his part, so we're kicking him out? That would be honest. That would be, I would think, praise. But this administration believes that you don't give no bad news to the press. You don't admit the scope of corruption. So what did they do instead? Instead, Porter Goss focused on media leaks. Don't let people know about what's going on. And he focused on making documents secret, making things secret that weren't secret before. And so, instead of simply telling us what's going on at the CIA, it's all about hiding the ball. This is an administration for whom secrecy is sacrosanct. 888-488-MARK. Let's go to a caller hanging on the line. Caller, welcome to the Inside Scoop.
Hi, Mark. How are you?
I'm doing good.
Hey, I wanted to change the subject just briefly, talking about being weary about, there's so many scandals. We tend to forget even the big ones, like the outing of the CIA agent Valerie Plame and Karl Rove's role in that. It sounds like there's some interesting developments in that story this week, that and I wanted to get your comments.
Well, I think he will be indicted. I have to admit, I was wrong when I predicted he'd be indicted sooner. I've been predicting he'd be indicted for about a year now. In fact, he came very close to being indicted. And Fitzgerald, I have to say, I got to give him credit. They're very tight-lipped. I have various sources in Congress and the administration. I don't have any in Fitzgerald's office. They're actually keeping a good secret. So, you know, it's all about speculation here. But they say that he was about to be indicted last year when he came up with this idea that, yes, okay, he lied to investigators, but he lied because he forgot about his prior conversations. It was sort of an interesting argument. It was admitting that he lied, but saying, oh, he just forgot that he talked to the guy before. But now that we know that Cheney was involved from the outset, it really gets hard for Karl Rove, who's known to be a guy who's the master of everything. They're known to be the guy who's got his hands on everything. I think it's very hard for him to say that he forgot about something as important as outing a CIA agent. I don't know. What are your thoughts on the matter?
Well, I mean, just considering how key he is as a strategist to the Republican Party in the midterms elections coming up, without his dirty politics to swing the tide, I think that they could lose one of the houses.
Well, I'll tell you this. Even when he's indicted, and I do expect him to be indicted, don't think he'll be out of government. I mean, just because he'll quit his job, Karl Rove is the turd blossom, right? He'll be there. I don't know. It would be very interesting to see if Rove...
He won't be privy to classified information. He won't be able to spy on his political enemies. He'll lose quite a lot of power.
It's interesting. I don't know. I don't know whether he will or he won't. I suspect he will still work in the background. I think, though, what will be interesting, more interesting, is that there will come now a conflict of interest between him and the administration that never existed before. They were just a team. But we've seen with Scooter Libby that now Scooter Libby, for example, was trying to do something called gray mail. What's gray mail? Gray mail is kind of like blackmail. What it is when you're being charged with a crime And you, in order to defend yourself, you insist the government turn over all these secret documents. And
right.
you hope that by doing that, that the government will drop the case against you because they'd rather not do the case against you than to have all these secret documents being disclosed. Libby is in a difficult role. He is being pushed by Fitzgerald, I think, to turn state's evidence against the vice president of the United States. And that's common. Prosecutors do that all the time. They get the low-level drug dealer to turn over who the big drug dealer is and you know, all the way up the chain. Rove will be pressed hard, I'm sure, by Fitzgerald, who will say, you can plea, you can serve maybe a year in prison, if you tell us exactly, you know, what Cheney did, how he was involved, how it is that, you know, the vice president, was he truly the one, and I think he was, who ordered this woman's identity be disclosed as political payback to Joe Wilson for telling the truth about Bush's lies, you know, on the Iraq having nuclear weapons. I think that he'll be pushed to turn state's evidence. And it'll be very interesting to see if Rove is as loyal as everyone thinks he is. He may be like G. Gordon Liddy, serve his time, not finger the president, even when he knows he's done wrong. Or he may be the kind of guy who's saving his own skin and will say, all right, if I only serve a year instead of 10 years, I'll tell you the vice president was involved. I don't know.
I think he'll be pardoned. I mean, I think he's above those sorts of
typical
criminal type prosecution tactics. But I do think he's a third of the administration. I think the president, the vice president, and him make up the trifecta, and it's essentially taking a third of the administration out of the picture. I think it's a devastating blow. It could just be you know, it could be the thread that unravels the whole rat's nest.
It's interesting. I actually think it's a duopoly rather than a trifecta. I think Cheney and Rove control the show. I don't think Bush plays much of a major role. But
I remember that without Karl Rove, they wouldn't be sitting in the White House. He's the dirty rat that's gotten them elected each and every time.
No question. But I still wonder what he'll do in the background. You got to remember, he didn't have a formal role until recently. I mean, he's always played this sort of secret role in the administration. Like Cheney plays a very major role, mostly quiet.
Dirty tricks. It's easy to be a dirty politician, but it's not as easy when you're under indictment.
Maybe so. You may be right. I hope so. I do think it will be a major thing. And what's interesting about it is, you know, Scott McClellan, the former press secretary, was so much involved in all of this because he's the guy who came to the public 2 years ago, said he talked to Karl Rove directly. Karl Rove looked him in the eye and denied any involvement, and he told that to the American people. Now, I don't think it's a coincidence that McClellan is out.
The administration has known for some time that Karl Rove's going to get indicted, and that's a large piece of why there's so many changes in the administration lately.
I do think so. That's exactly the point I was trying to make. I think that is the reason why Tony Snow is there and Scott McClellan is out. Hey, if you want to hang on, that's fine with me. I got to take a commercial break, but we'll be right. Folks, if you want to call in as well, 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back after this.
Here's a message about Anderson Windows from J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. If you're thinking about remodeling your home, keep in mind that windows play a big part, so it's important to get the right ones. Anderson not only offers finely crafted windows and patio doors in thousands of sizes and styles, they also give you natural wood interiors, low-maintenance exteriors, and long-lasting energy-saving performance. Stop in and see the full line of Anderson Windows at J.T. Hurst & Company, a division of T.W. Perry. The pros at J.T. Hurst can locate a contractor to do the job for you or give you some helpful tips on how you can do it yourself. J.T. Hurst, where customer service comes first, a division of T.W. Perry. On Catoctin Circle in Leesburg, Anderson Windows. Long live the home.
How many different organizations list you as a member? You might be a member of a sports team, a book club, travel or CD club. But what does that membership really mean? Does membership in a book club allow you to vote on who runs the organization? Can you help shape the long-term future of your CD club? I don't think so. You can, however, shape the future of your electric company. That is, if you're a NOVEC customer. NOVEC, Northern Virginia Electric Cooperative, is owned by the consumers we serve and governed by a board of directors elected from the membership. Pretty cool, huh? But wait, there's more. NOVEC's customers share in the company's profits. Last year, we distributed more than $9.1 million in capital credits to our membership. The power to vote and a share of the profits. Membership doesn't get much better than this. NOVEC, locally based and member-owned. For a list of customer services, answers to your questions, and even employment opportunities, visit our website at www.novec.com.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Usually I focus on national stories, but sometimes local stories actually have national implications. So it is with what happened recently in suburban Virginia. We had a man who, really a boy, about 18-year-old, who was in a mental health institution. This guy had apparently shot the family dog and was incarcerated or... I don't know what the word is, institutionalized, I guess is the better word, in a mental health institution. He escaped and came home to his family house. And from there, he got out seven guns, including an AK-47 assault rifle, and went to the Fairfax police station. Fairfax is the largest county in Virginia, just outside of Washington, D.C., and started shooting. He killed one police officer. He critically injured another. He shot a third until finally he was shot dead. Now, he had an AK-47. He had a high-powered hunting rifle and five handguns. The police went to his parents' home, and they found nine more guns, as well as ammunition, hunting knives, a bayonet, and a locked gun safe. Now, let's be clear. There's the locked gun safe, and then there's 16 guns outside the safe, and ammunition, and hunting knives, and bayonet. Do you think maybe his parents are partly responsible for those police officers' deaths? I do. I do. If you have a son who is mentally ill, who has used a gun to shoot your dog, might you think he might use a gun to shoot somebody else? For all the talk about gun laws, and there's a lot of talk about it in the Washington, D.C. area because the District of Columbia bans most guns. Virginia allows them. The governor of Maryland, Bob Ehrlich, was known in Congress for being against restrictions on assault weapons. Everyone has to have an assault weapon. Frankly, I don't know why you need a machine gun or an assault weapon to shoot a deer if you're a hunter. I would think if you get 30 holes in your meat, it's not good venison. But don't you think the mentally ill should be prevented from owning guns? I mean, if you've committed a violent crime in the past, you shouldn't own guns, particularly with a firearm. And if you're mentally ill, sorry, no guns. And I have no problem prosecuting parents who have guns in their home at the same time as they house an escaped mentally ill patient who was known to use a firearm in a violent act, even if it's against a dog. I have no problem with that. I think they should be prosecuted. And if it's not illegal, I think it should be. I don't believe that owning a gun is a right. It's a right under the Second Amendment if you're part of a well-regulated militia. But no well-regulated militia would have a mentally ill 18-year-old in it. He should not have had access to those guns. And maybe if we don't start prosecuting these parents, then they'll just keep giving guns to people who shouldn't have them. Guns are dangerous, all right? Now, I'm not trying to restrict hunters, ordinary people who want guns for self-defense. I do think if you have a gun, you should have to go through some kind of training. Heck, we have to get a driver's license. We have to pass a test. How about having to pass a test to get a gun license? We register cars. How about registering guns? For all the conservatives, and I pointed this out when I talked about all the Americans that are being spied on the Bush administration, why is it the conservatives don't care if the government knows who you're calling, who's calling you, if they know what political activities you're doing, if they know what you're doing on the internet, but they don't want the government to know if you have a gun. I happen to think that a gun is more dangerous than a Google search. That an AK-47 is more dangerous than a phone call. If it's a phone call from a terrorist, we can get a warrant. But I have no problem saying that you have no reason to believe anyone's done any wrong, leave our phone calls alone. As for our guns, I have no problem with registration. I think it would save lives. When we come back, there's a bunch of little stories I do want to talk about in the remaining 17 minutes of the program. We have John McCain sucking up to religious right. We've got the possibility of a vote for the District of Columbia, the only citizens of the United States that are denied representation in Congress. I want to talk about the Bush tax cuts. And if there's time, let's talk about the sex offender registry in a recent case that suggests that maybe it's not all that good idea. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. These topics are if you just want to gripe about the fact that the Bush administration knows whether you called your mother this Mother's Day. 888-488-MARK. We'll be right back after this.
Percent.
46%.
42%.
I cut my payments in half.
How much can you cut your monthly student loan payments by refinancing with College Loan Corporation? To find out, just call 1-800-2-COLLEGE. You'll quickly be connected to an expert loan consultant who will answer your questions and tell you how you can cut your monthly payment by up to 50% by refinancing your federal student loans at rates as low as 2.63%. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling.
Mine too, but who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massaging gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back, guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
I know everything. Languages? Yes. Boiling points? Celsius and Fahrenheit? Yes. World capitals? Please. So, not too long ago, I tried to get a refi, and it got turned down. And this is the best part. The loan officer says to me, sir, do you know what your credit score is? So, I looked at her and said, tell me, do you know what the population of Liechtenstein is? Huh? Do you? Ha, ha, ha. She didn't.
Get in the know. Check out ScorePower from Equifax. You'll get your credit report, credit score, and you'll learn how your credit decisions can affect your score, all for only $14.95. And knowing that is how you get the credit you deserve. So check out ScorePower at Equifax.com or call 1-877-4-EQUIFAX. That's EQUIFAX. Equifax.
Well, now I have my credit score up to 760, the same number of days it took Frenchman Michel Lapointe to circle the globe on a bike. Yeah, I'll bet you didn't know that.
Get the power, score power at Equifax.com.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. I'm your host, Mark Levine. You know, sometimes the big stories, like the fact the president's spying on all of us and trying to create East Germany right here on the Potomac River in Washington, sometimes those stories, well, they seem to push out the smaller stories. That's one of the reasons why I have the Sunday Weekly Review. I want to talk about some of those stories, including such small victories as the fact that the Hummer was discontinued this week. That's right, the gas-guzzling monster that gets about less than 10 miles to the gallon, this sort of huge tank that makes perfect sense for transporting troops but not for highways, is going out of business. At least the H1, the biggest, is, because actually Prius sales of the Toyota Hybrid are this year higher than that of General Motors Hummer. So all cheers to Toyota, all cheers to Americans for finally understanding that when you buy that gas guzzler, you really are helping the terrorists. For all the times that has been misused, saying that demanding you have rights, you're protecting terrorists. Well, those of you that bought Hummers, I'm glad to say, won't be able to buy them anymore. Other news, right here in Washington, D.C., we may get the right to vote. It's always amazed to me, to Americans outside the Beltway, that most Americans don't even seem to know that we don't have the right to vote in Washington, D.C., but we don't. It's a fluke of the United States Constitution. The Constitution developed this district of territory called the District of Columbia as a part gift from Virginia and a part gift from Maryland, and the idea is it would be outside of any state, so no state could control it. Remember, states had a lot of power before the Constitution. They had more power than the federal government. The idea was D.C. would be free from that. But somewhere lost in the Constitution was the idea that people would be living right here in Washington, D.C., and might, as Americans, also want a right to participate in the American system. The people of the District of Columbia have no representation in Congress. They do have a right under a constitutional amendment in the 60s to elect the President of the United States, but they have no right in the House of Representatives or in the Senate to have a vote. They are disenfranchised. They pay taxes, but they cannot vote. That's why the license plates have the slogan, taxation without representation. Well, news came today that there may be a deal in the works. Congressman Tom Davis of Northern Virginia, which is near D.C., a Republican, has worked out a deal with Eleanor Holmes, Democrat. She's the congresswoman elected by the voters of the District of Columbia who does not get a vote in Congress. She's, I guess, a figurehead, if you will, because they elect her, but she can't vote. Well, Republicans have argued for a long time that the people of District of Columbia do not have a right to vote. Why? Because they'll elect Democrats. And Americans should not have a right to vote if they'll elect Democrats. The District of Columbia is an extremely Democratic city, state, district. There's no question about it. In the most recent elections, Kerry versus Bush, Bush didn't get 10% of the vote. Kerry got 90%, Bush got 9%, and Ralph Nader got 1%. So he couldn't break into double digits. So the feeling between Bush and the District of Columbia is mutual. We don't like him. He doesn't like us. We don't think he should be our president. He doesn't think we should have a right to vote. Now, what's amazed me is Republicans have used this argument with a straight face for many, many years, arguing that Americans should not have a right to vote. Remember, this is the president that thinks that Iraqis should have a right to vote, but those of us that live in the district should not. And of course, to add insult to injury, D.C., not being a state, can't even control its own politics. We elect the mayor of the District of Columbia, but he's overruled by Congress, which controls it like a territory. Indeed, the Iraqi citizens may have more rights to decide their government, if it weren't such a mess over there, than the people of D.C. So D.C. wants to be a state. They want two senators. They want a representative. They have a population that's bigger than Wyoming. Wyoming has two senators and representative. D.C. has none. Well, the compromise is here, and it ain't great, but it's a start. What happened is the House of Representatives would add two seats. It's been 435 members for, 70, 80 years now. It would go up to 437. The Democrats would get D.C., or to be more exact, D.C. would get a vote, which Republicans know would go to the Democrats, and Utah would get a seat as well, Utah being the most Republican state in the United States and the state that was next in line in the census. Well, many Republicans are grumbling. They say, why would we want to add a Republican seat and a Democratic seat? That doesn't change anything. How about for democracy's sake? How about for the fact that Americans should have a vote? You know, I'm not a big fan of it. For one thing, I think D.C. needs to have a vote in the Senate. At the very least, they should be able to vote for Maryland senators if they don't get two themselves. But it is a start. And even if we have to give Republicans another seat in Utah, it's worth it to me to express the idea that all Americans should have a right to vote. You wouldn't think it would be that controversial, but unfortunately, it is. I also want to talk about John McCain. He has paid his homage to the religious right. He, you know, and I, a lot of people have respect for McCain. A lot of Democrats, independents have respect for McCain. Why is he bowing down to Jerry Falwell? At one point, Jerry Falwell was called evil by McCain. He was the agent of intolerance. John McCain seemed to see clearly who Jerry Falwell was about. My friends, there's only two possibilities. Either John McCain has had a true change of heart, he has flip-flopped, and he now sees the religious right as no danger to America, which would mean that he's either a lot more stupid or a lot more vapid than people think he is, or he's doing the political thing. He's doing what he needs to do to get votes. Now, I don't want to be churlish here. I understand McCain needs votes. But John McCain was always praised by people as the guy that wouldn't do the political thing. The guy that was above that kind of thing. The kind of guy who was a maverick, who would say what he thought, who wouldn't bow down to anyone. Well, fans of John McCain, can you explain why he's at Liberty University? The answer is, I'm sorry to say, that John McCain is acting like just one another politician. I guess I shouldn't be surprised. 888-488-MARK, 888-488-6275. We'll be right back with the conclusion of the Inside Scoop right after this.
Just a cowboy who's got achy knees and the joint pain they call osteoarthritis. I tried over-the-counter pills, they weren't right for me. So I tried some prescriptions and they made me foggy. And that's when I found you, Celebrex, for joint pain relief, no more, no less.
Yeehaw! Celebrex targets the source of pain and inflammation. It's non-narcotic. It doesn't make you foggy or slow you down. Ask your doctor about Celebrex celecoxib capsules. Celebrex should not be taken if you've had aspirin-sensitive asthma or allergic reaction due to aspirin or other arthritis medicines or certain drugs called sulfonamides. In rare cases, serious stomach problems such as bleeding can occur without warning. Tell your doctor if you have kidney or liver problems. To learn more, call 1-888-CELEBREX, visit Celebrex.com, or see our ad in Real Simple. Just one prescription Celebrex gives 24-hour relief.
Ask your doctor about Celebrex. Joint pain relief, no more, no less.
From Washington, more of the Inside Scoop with Mark Levine.
Welcome back to the Inside Scoop. Just a few minutes left, and of course, there's a lot to talk about. Let's just talk about a few quick stories the government does not want you to know. Do you remember who Robert Ray is? You probably don't. He used to work for Ken Starr. He was essential to prosecuting Bill Clinton for perjury, for lying, he claimed, about a sex act with Monica Lewinsky. Well, Robert Ray has his own sexual indiscretions. He was just convicted recently of stalking his girlfriend. Now, I just want you to think about this. He's a guy going after the president for committing adultery, and yet he's a stalker. It's very interesting when the judging become the judged. I do want to talk about the tax cut real briefly. You know, of course, that the Bush administration, without paying for it, has decided to deduct taxes for the wealthiest among us. If you're lucky enough to be in the top 1%, you got a 5% decrease in your taxes. So if you're making, I don't know, $300,000 a year, and you're paying $100,000 in taxes, you made $1,000. If you're in the top 0.1% and you're making $1 million a year, well, you got 6%. 6% off your taxes. If you're paying $300,000 in taxes, well, congratulations. The government has just given you $18,000. What if you're in the bottom 20%, the bottom fifth of Americans? Well, you got 0.4% off your taxes. If you're paying $100, congratulations. The Bush administration has just saved you 40 cents. Who pays for this? Obviously, our children pay for this. Because there's no spending cuts that are tied to these tax cuts. Our children are going to have to pay the money back. In the future, they're going to have to pay for their taxes, for their times, for our taxes, for our times. and a hefty chunk of interest to boot. So who are the big winners? Well, if you're an heir, if you inherited money, if you didn't work for a living, if you're Anna Nicole Smith and married, and you're a Playboy model who married an 84-year-old man who died a year later, you're a big winner. No taxes. If you have dividends, if you have interest, if you don't want to work for a living, you're a big winner. You saved money. If, however, you happen to hold a job or two or three and are trying to feed your family, well, you're the big loser. The government seems to be saying working is for losers. We support those that don't work. The lazy rich, they are the ones that get the big advantage from the Bush administration. I just want to conclude. Well, you know, before I conclude, I want to conclude by talking about the eavesdropping. Before I do, though, I have to give a quick mention, because it really should be mentioned every show, to the genocide going on in Sudan. I have to talk about Darfur, because let no one say they didn't know it was going on. People claim not to know about the Holocaust. I've never believed those that did, particularly those in Germany or Poland. We know that Darfur is going on, just like we know that Rwanda was going on, just like we knew that Cambodia was going on. Our government's doing nothing. We have this massive military force, and we use it to buy cheap oil, but not to save lives. In this case, the lives of people that are dying. In this case, the lives of genocide. The people in Sudan. I do want to conclude by briefly talking about what we should do with this eavesdropping. And I think the answer is maybe Mike from L.A. was right. Maybe Nancy Pelosi should have said something. Maybe she should have risked going to jail to say something. It would be great to see that kind of courage. But the Democrats have no excuse not to show that courage now. Michael Hayden, the man who concocted this wonderful plan to spy on Americans, this plan that would have spied on all of us if brave companies like Quest had not fought the administration, he is now being appointed to head the CIA. Never have we had a time when such a fox is in charge of such a chicken coop. It is time for Democrats to filibuster. They didn't filibuster Alito like I wanted them to. And they shouldn't normally filibuster an appointment by the administration. But when you have a man who cares so little about the law, so little about American liberty and American freedoms, and he's appointed to secretly watch over all of our data, who we call, who calls us, where we're going, the Democrats have got to stand up for American freedom. And so they've got to filibuster Michael Hayden. That's it for the Inside Scoop. Tune in tomorrow at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time. We've got a terrific show on net neutrality. You may not even know what that is. But basically, the government wants to give up control of the internet to corporations who will let you know what you can watch and what you can't watch and will charge you accordingly. We can't let that happen, but we're going to debate it, have both sides represented. That's Debate Monday tomorrow at 7 p.m. right here on Inside Scoop radio stations and www.radioinsidescoop.com. Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. This is Mark, including my own. Hi, Mom.